show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. As I await my guests, you know, I really am kind of at wit's end with and wondering if our nation, as Tom always states, you know, at the root of our nation, it's supposed to be you and I. And we are facing, again, we're going to be headed towards, a tough time in the coming weeks and months and years as we move towards a recession. And the recession that's coming, you know, it's been a while, and I think people have kind of gotten to a point, you know, where if you're comfortable in the society, and for those of you who are, you know, God bless you, that you have gotten to a place in your life that things are, you don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. You know, you are such a blessed person. But unfortunately, far too many people in this country are living paycheck to paycheck. Can you imagine? You know, I mean, I was there, right? I mean, I didn't grow up in a house or in a community or in a family where we didn't have to struggle, and even though we were never hungry, and even though was never homeless, you know, we never had any extra. I was never in a position where, you know, you got to get things, right? Unless you earn them yourself. But there are people who live in the society who are blessed and fortunate enough that you know, wealth is passed down, generational wealth. And so I'll never know what that's like. And many of you in this listening audience will never know what that's like to basically be on easy street, to not have to worry about where, you know, food is going to come from. You know, I was in the grocery store on yesterday, and this poor soul, this poor woman, as cold as it is, was in the parking lot, and she saw me, and you could see that she was a, you know, an undernourished woman, probably well over 80, cold outside, and she asked me, "Sir, can you get me something to eat?" And man, and I'm looking, and I'm like, wow, man. Wow. Wealthiest nation on earth. I don't know how many people walk past her, you know, but we have a lot of people who do that, walk right past her. And I took her into the grocery store, and I bought her a hot meal. And at least it's a respite, you know, for that moment. She at least was in a position for only a moment that there would be food in her wrinkled stomach. Woman in her 80s. Man, that's a reality in this nation that we don't want to face. Why don't we want to face that? Why is it out of sight, out of mind? That's not me. That's not happening to me, so I don't, you know, I don't see that in my neighborhood, you know. That's, you know, that person did that to themselves. We've got that kind of mentality, far too many of us in this country. And we got to figure out a better way of making, you know, people's lives better. Man, every day, my focus is every morning I get up, am I going to be able to make somebody's life better? You know, what does it take for me to make somebody's life better? I don't care who you are. We can do it. We have to do it. You know, we've got to become that. We've got to become our brother's keeper. I know people say, well, you know, I give to this, I give to that, so I'm doing my part. But people have to do things for themselves. They need to stop begging. You know, that's that kind of mentality out there, you know, looking for handouts. Man, if ever there was a time that we should address that, it's now. Let's go to my friend, David from Mequon. Hey, Dave, what's going on, man?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Well, first of all, you know, I'm not surprised you're always a very generous person. You know, all the time I've known you, and I'm not shocked that you did that, and I think...
You know, I didn't do it for a pat on the back.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm not shocked that you just did it. This is the kindness of your heart. And what I was going to say is, you know, in the country, we throw out so much food. We waste so much food. And I firmly believe that there has to be a better coordination with that, because people have this misnomer that as soon as the expiration date is on, you know, whatever package of food, that you got to throw it away. And that's not the case. It's just basically really can't, you know, shouldn't be purchasing it per se, but it could certainly last past the purchasing date for the most part for most items. And I do think that if people realize that, if there was, like, again, better coordination with that, with the fact that, like I said, we are throwing out, the amount of food that's thrown out is unbelievable. And I do know this. So I think I've told this to you before, Earl. So I donate blood regularly. And one of the things that I did notice is this, you know, they have, you know, the snacks and stuff afterwards, and that's donated from, you know, be from Panera Bread or Starbucks, whatever. But the bigger thing is that there should be, you know, it's good, but there should be a bigger emphasis. We don't hear about, like you said, swept under the rug, where the pantries are. Where are the food pantries, you know, so people can get access to them? And I know we have some in the community, but they're kind of not really talked about. And I do think, you know, we need to, as a society, to do a better job of informing people where they could get that food, because I know there's some churches that do, you know, some hot meals here and there. But I'll be honest with you, I mean, if I had to tell you right now, like, which one, I couldn't tell you right off the top of my head.
Of course, Dave, because you are one of those fortunate few that I was talking about before, who is blessed and doesn't have to worry about that. But there are so many people in this country who aren't. And sometimes I think, Dave, that there are people who don't believe that hunger exists in this country. Right? I mean,
there's plenty of it, and it's unfortunate because, you know, you do see there are a lot of people that go hungry, and how do we know? Well, we have a lot of people Especially when we have Thanksgiving, the amount of people that come in for Thanksgiving, it's like thousands. And that's because they can't afford to get a good, hot turkey meal. Now, granted, it's one day, but the point being that it's, I volunteered for that as well to, the help out downtown. And it was shocking to me when I first did that.
You mean the Christmas family feast?
Yes, right. That too. But there was also one for Thanksgiving. There was another place, but yes, for Christmas, yes, it was shocking to see that many people come out because they just have no ability to be able to support.
So Dave, let's do this, man. We got to go to a break. Thank you very much for the call, man. Got to go to a break. When we come back,
okay,
we're going to be joined by my guest, Mr. Michael Letts. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. As promised, my guest, Mr. Michael Letts, is on the line. He is the CEO of Vest USA, a Columbia, South Carolina-based national nonprofit organization helping thousands of community, provide thousands, and on and on and on. He does engage in so many different things. Good morning to you, Mr. Letts. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Always a privilege to be with you.
It's always good to have you on. And I wanted to talk a little bit about the outcome of the elections.
Sure.
I began my show this morning talking. I play excerpts from Raphael Warnock, the present United States Senator from Georgia. And I followed that up with Herschel Walker. And to give people a contrast of these two men, and I ask people how listening to the intellect of Raphael Warnock and then listening to clearly a man who struggles to put a sentence together, Herschel Walker, how can 50% of the people from Georgia vote for a man who you would not even want teaching your child? A man who struggles to even put a sentence together, and yet he's right there to become a United States Senator. Why are the differences so stark, Mr. Letts, between Democrats and Republicans, and how do we fix it?
Well, I think you have the same issue that you had in Pennsylvania, with Fetterman and Oz. And I think it's what it was it's not just the candidate. It's what they perceive to be the values and principles that candidate is pledging to, not so much whether the candidate can or cannot articulate it. And, of course, that is concerning on both sides, whether it's Fetterman or whether it's Walker. But I think it is the principle itself. And you are very astute, Earl, in mentioning that we have really a divided house. Those who believe in one set of values and those who propose another. But what I think, Earl, the problem has been is that we have not been consistent in what are our strengths that bring us together. Let's take about one particular issue that affected both races, Pennsylvania race, Georgia race, et cetera. I don't think, Earl, there's anybody on listening to your show that would espouse and say, we want more violent crime. We want to be more unsafe in our communities. I think we all agree that safety in our communities has got to be a fundamental principle of continuing to enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy in this country. The question is, how do we get there? There are those who espouse that we need to have a greater oversight on law enforcement. There are those who say, no, we just need to give law enforcement carte blanche. And quite frankly, Earl, there's merit on both sides. You cannot say that there are not bad law enforcement when you're talking about 1.3 million officers across the country. At the same time, you cannot say that there has been knee-jerk reactions and things or policies and regulations proposed that would put officers in harm's way and cause them not to want to continue to be police officers. And we have not really had discussions about where we need to stand on those issues such as that. And that's just one example.
So Mike, before
we could talk about the economy as well.
Well, but before we leave that, Let's look at it this way. Republicans put that out front as one of the number one planks of this election season, and that was rejected by the majority of the people. It's not that they don't think that crime is an issue. In many cities across the nation, crime is not an issue. In some, yes. But there were people who clearly think that there are things that are going on in this society that far outweigh that this focus solely on law enforcement and crime. And Republicans, that's always a fallback safety net for them, that we'll talk about people not supporting law enforcement. You know, there are many cities like the one I live in, Mr. Letts, that can't afford to pay for law enforcement because we have a state legislature that's controlled by Republicans that won't allow the city to raise the resources necessary to even afford law enforcement. So it's something at the root of the Democratic Party and the Republican Party that they can't come together to address what is the most important thing in the society, and that's the fact that I said earlier, 325 million Americans or so who can't come together, who only make up 4% of the global population, but yet we are divided to the degree that we can't work together as a unit. Why?
Well, I think, and it's very clear, in my opinion, Earl, just what you were just talking about now, we have not really had in-depth discussions. We as a society prefer sound bites.
Why?
We as a society prefer sound bites. We have had educational systems over the years that prefer a immediate gratification. We have not trained our young people and ourselves to have in-depth discussions. You know, there's an awful lot of common ground we can find besides working through the differences if we have those discussions. But we prefer to use one sentence of graphic, shall we say.
Hang on. On the line, Mr. Michael Letts. Sure. He's the founder and president and CEO of Invest USA. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back. Down my spine. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. My guest is Mr. Michael Letts. And you know, Mike, the fact that, you know, we can't get people to sit down and discuss these issues because we're on different sides of the equation is crazy to me. You and I are not on the same side of many issues, but you and I can sit down and have a conversation, a meaningful conversation, because I don't feel threatened by your view. You don't feel threatened by mine. How come we can't have that on in the highest offices of the land? You know what I mean? Why is it that there are people who divide us, Mike, and we almost appear to be like sheep, one side or the other? We can't realize just how important it is to think for ourselves.
Well, we are being like sheep. I mean, quite frankly, Earl, and you know, I'm going to take the gloves off and tell it like it is. You know, that's part of
right.
me being
that's
on your show.
That's why I want you on the air, right?
When you have media, I'm going to use the media and politicians who benefit by dividing. And the reason why they benefit by dividing is because they can incite emotion. Emotion causes you to pick up your checkbook and write them a check. Emotion causes you to be more vocal, shall we say. Their best interest is to continue to divide, not to bring people together. We, you and I, all understand that while emotion may bring out greater response, at the end of the day, it solves nothing. And it makes us further divided and creates problems beyond what we even have today. But until we take the lead and demand that this divisiveness that our leaders are showing and our media, because the leaders couldn't do it without the media, and the media couldn't do it without the leaders issuing the releases, we're continuing to be in a downward spiraling situation. And so I think it becomes incumbent on us, I have said this repeatedly before on the air, is we the American people have to step forward now and make our own governance, because our elected leaders and our media are just not cutting it. They're dividing us.
You know, Mike, unfortunately, and you and I have lived a little while, so it hasn't always been that way. We've seen it get progressively worse. And so you're either on one side or the other. And to me, that is not a good recipe for a future for this nation. That divided, this nation is on a perilous course. And again, when you only make up 4% of the global population, somebody has to, you know, be willing to let our community know, let the people of this nation know that when you're only 4% of the population, you've got to be together, right?
Correct. But, you know, Earl, whatever happened to the old town hall days, we took the message to the people in years past. Now we take the message to the media. And people don't have time, shall we say, for the media. They want their 2-second sound bites. And so our leaders and our media deliver it to them. And they deliver it to them in a very divisive and emotional way. And it works out great for them because they get people stirred up. People give them money to continue to keep them stirred up. And that cycle just continues to evolve on a daily basis.
So do you think, Mike, that the American people are too busy in our lives, or we just don't care about that aspect of it, not understanding that you should be caring about that aspect of it because it impacts and affects the life that we're talking about?
I think both of what you said is accurate. First of all, we are busy. Everybody's struggling just to be able to make ends meet. And so they expect their leaders, their media, people they have trusted. You know, you said it wasn't this way in the past. You were right, Earl. It wasn't this way in the past. We trusted our leaders. We trusted the media to be fair and accurate, not opinionated. And so we passed that trust along and expected them to do the job. Instead, we were busy about making a living. Unfortunately, they took that opportunity to advance themselves and to advance causes that were divisive that they could raise more money off of. And then the second thing is, I don't think the American people, I think this is changing, Earl, but I don't think the American people realized how significant and how much impact that was going to have on them. Because when you now begin to see violent crime rising, I'm just using that as an illustration, or inflation where you can't afford things, suddenly that begins to affect you personally. Now people begin to wonder, what do we do? But we haven't had anybody step up and say, well, what we need to do is go back to what we had before. Town halls, I'm using that as an illustration, where we sit down and realize that the time we invest, an hour on one evening, to discuss these matters and come up with solutions that we can all agree upon will make our lives so much better down the road.
Well, Mike.
We're wondering, you might be cheap right now.
Go ahead.
Well, I see we're wandering aimlessly as sheep right now, wondering who's going to help provide solutions to what we just saw.
So $20 billion was just spent on the last election cycle. $20 billion. And what was the $20 billion spent to do, Mike? To address the hungry in this nation, the homeless in this nation? What was the purpose of $20 billion being spent for?
You realize, Earl, the statement that you just made, what you could have done. Let's just be very blunt.
Yeah,
the things we could have done to reduce crime, the things we could have done to feed homeless, the things we could have done to shelter veterans. Do you realize what we could have done with $20 billion?
Yeah, I do.
Instead, we took it to divide a country even further than what it already is. That's where we're at in society today, and that's a recipe for disaster.
You know, Mike, I always say this, you know, it's on both sides when it comes to, you know, and that's why I refer to this as politricks and politricksters, because they know what their focus is, and their aim is to lead people to understand that, you know, we'll do the thinking for you. It's a representative government. And what good is being a part of a representative government if the people themselves don't know what that means? And I just think that people don't know that, and they think they've done their due diligence. They voted. And now they'll put their voting shoes up, and they'll put their voting jackets up, and until 2 years from now, and they'll take that back out, just like the holidays. You know, right now people have dusted off their Christmas trees and their Christmas lights and ornaments, and now they'll take them out of the closet and they'll celebrate, and then a week or so after the holidays, they'll wrap those things back up and put them in the closet. You can do that with holiday things, but you can't do that with the things that impact and affect our lives.
You can't do that with policy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so you can't do that with policy, Earl. You can do that, like you said, with holidays. You can't do that with policy, because policy determines destination over time.
You know, policies, and I almost think that the fact that part of all of this is at the root of, after all the voting and the elections and all of that, then becomes leading through policy, right? Leading.
Correct.
And directing what's going to happen with the citizenry. And yet, you know, the people give up that. We give that up. It's almost like that's too heavy a lift for us to focus on. And that's both sides again, to focus on what these people do once they get there.
You know, you're exactly right. And when you look at the flip side, if you're there, I'm using the illustrations, if you're there, you realize the way for you to stay there is you've got to have PR, you've got to have, you know, you got to spend a bunch of money. Well, how do you get people to send money? You know, you wanted to get all mad and upset about something, so they'll send you money. So they play those cards every time.
So
to raise money.
So let's see what happens now. Democrats just had control over, you know, the entire government.
Right.
Now the Republicans have now come in, and they have, you know, control over the House. It's divided government. nothing's going to change, nothing's going to happen. So if you just saw $20 billion spent, Mike, and nothing changes, you know, shouldn't people be, you know, wait a minute. Shouldn't we be thinking along these lines? Wait a minute. We just spent $20 billion. Republicans have now taken control of the House. Shouldn't we expect something to happen, Mike? Instead, we're not going to see any movement whatsoever. So what was the purpose? What was the purpose of spending $20 billion?
And the American people will not be able to answer that question. And that is what is the shame, and that is where we get back to you. And I had this first discussion as we started the show. The American people have just given up, basically. They, as you said, they get out their shoes for a couple of days, do what they think is appropriate to allow their representatives to make things better. Their representatives have no intention of making things better. They want to keep it divided. That's how they make money. And we have not put in place a mechanism that keeps the American people engaged and informed. Quite frankly, Earl, we had that years and years ago. We had town halls. You remember every small community had a town hall.
But
and, you know, people showed up at town hall meetings. We don't do that anymore.
Well, but Mike, you can't or you don't need to because of the advancement of technology and you know, at my home, I've got, I don't know what it is. I don't know. I think it showed 16,000 channels, right?
Right.
On television. That, you know, not that I can watch 16,000 channels, but I have access to 16,000 channels on television. When you and I were young, there was six, five. And the other part of this, Mike, is, you know, there was Walter Cronkite, right? And when
correct.
He came on,
you believe him.
Yeah, he came on. It was an hour, and so you got the news. You made sure you got it. It was unbiased. And
correct.
And now, what do you have? Maybe 1,000 different cable channels dealing with politics that are on 24 hours a day.
They're all biased,
huh?
And they're all biased.
Yeah.
They've all got their own perspective.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so the American people are being, you know, miseducated.
Yeah. And we have duped or dumbed the American public now by not allowing for us to have it. And that's why I'm holding this position about the town halls. You see the difference back then is you and I, we all were in a room together, and we could exchange and discuss ideas. And you would make me look at some things I hadn't thought about before, and I had the same with you. With the technology we have now, it is so overwhelming that most people don't even understand how to use it, much less what to discern is correct or not, and they have become disengaged. It's not working, Earl. We've got to find a better way.
No, so you and I agree it's not working. Politically, it's not working, and yes, there are people who benefit by it. But here's what I'd also say, Mike, is you and I, moving towards the latter years of our lives, we have a responsibility to push back and fight back for those who come after us. And so we can't just accept that it's not working. We've got to find a solution for those who have come after us, which is what happened to every generation before ours.
Correct. Correct. And I think, Earl, that we are putting together a solution now. You and I are starting one. The question is, it's a big difference between back then. There were a lot less people to be able to communicate and interact with than there are now. So we have to find a better way to get more people engaged to have these kind of discussions on a basis where people can interact, not just look at it on a black box.
There's no question, Mike, because we're looking at a time that's coming again where if the American people, again, I always use this term, it may frustrate some people, but it's factual. America is in the world. The world is not in America. So we've got to figure out, and many decades ago, it was not that way. It was that America is almost like the world was in America because everybody looked up to America because of who we were. And there
were, those days are gone right then.
And they're not coming back, Mike.
No, they're not. Not unless we do something.
Yeah. Well, you know, let me. Oh, we've got to go to a break. Hang on. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back. The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789 in Texas. That same number, my guest is Mr. Michael Letts. You know, Mike, they whipped the people up to come out and vote. And I know, you know, on both sides, and people came out and they got engaged. And then they went away. And
correct.
And you can't go away, right? If we're going to change any of this, Mike, we can't go away.
That's their formula right now, or we have to change that formula. And only the American people can require that we change that formula. One of the things, and this may be something you disagree with, we never had this discussion on the show, but one of the things I feel strongly about, Earl, is I think the American people should have the right to recall. But what do I mean by that? If we elect you,
so do
and
I.
You just and we just stir you up and you don't do anything to bring us together to solve solutions, then I don't need to wait for 4 years till you come up again. I need to go ahead and move you on out now and find somebody else that will.
You know, Mike, I also agree with term limits. Nobody should be that important that, you know, we can't,
right.
that we can't afford to, you know, lose you. Yeah, no.
That's correct.
If we can afford to lose or change the president every 4 years, Mike, you know, then somebody explain to me why, you know, that's not the same for the Congress and the Senate.
You have a great logic there. Nobody can argue with you.
No, I mean, it just, and to somehow think that the elected officials, Mike, are going to themselves vote term limits in to eliminate those great jobs. You know, Mike, I don't know. I've never been an elected official, but it must be, I mean, to have a job like that, that's got to be the closest thing to heaven that can be.
It certainly has its advantages. You know, I've served in quite some time. It definitely has its advantages, and unfortunately, it's not representative government. Because our founding fathers never intended it to be a job for life. They intended it to be public service. That's what they intended.
Yeah, they're public servants. And
exactly.
And yet there are people who don't realize that. And so we elevate the people above the station that they should be in because I think we're a better society and fresher ideas if we rotate people in and out. And then I hear people say, well, you know, Earl, you can't do that because if you rotate people in and out, there's some serious things that all of us need to, that people, that the elected officials on the national level know about. They know how government works, and we can't afford to change them. And I'm like, well, point out some of those things so I can, you know, that these people are so invaluable we can't change them.
I agree with you, Earl. I've heard the arguments. Well, if you do that, then it's going to be run by bureaucrats because they're the only ones that know how to operate it. Here's the problem with that argument, Earl. You don't know that for a fact. You're making a statement. Go ahead, put it this way. We know what we got now is not working. So let's change some things, and you can't do any worse.
That's my belief. You can't do any worse. Because when people get so comfortable on both sides of this, that the lobbyist has a seat at the table more so than you and I, something's wrong with that picture, right? There's got to be something wrong when the elected people that we elect are entertaining lobbyists more than they're working on what's in the best interest of you and I.
That's correct.
But that's where we are, right?
That is where we're at, and that is where we have been for a number of years. And with nobody having any incentive, here's what their incentive is, Earl. Their incentive is to hide what you and I are talking about, it, not talk about it, so they can keep it in place and enrich themselves. And it's got to be exposed. We can't. That's not how we were founded. That's not what our Constitution requires. And we have got to do something to change it.
So let me say why I think it's important that I keep having conversations with you, Mr. Letts. It's because we can agree that there's something wrong with the way the system is today. And that's both on the side of both parties. And so we have to then collectively see that outside of the parties, we've got to have that dialogue and conversation. And my good friend Tom from L.A. always says, we the people are the government. He is 100% correct. But if we the people don't understand that and don't know it, we'll continue to have to deal with what we're dealing with now. Listen, I hate we got to run, but I'll reach back out to you, and you and I are going to continue our dialogue and conversation in the coming months.
Thank you, Earl. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you, too. That's Mr. Mike Letts. Got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. Be right back.